Blog Talk Radio.
Beauty Shop for the Soul is a magnificent transformation to restore, cleanse, and tap into the essence of who you truly are. Beauty Shop for the Soul gives you the experience of a new makeover from inside out. Beauty Shop for the Soul was a universal gift to be birthed into the world to host Joanne Buckner. Joanne received this incredible gift through a meditation to share with others to awaken the soul. Beauty Shop for the Soul is a true magical process of the divine being you truly are. Now sit back, relax, and let Beauty Shop for the Soul take you on a new, exciting journey with host Joanne Buckner.
Welcome, not only but to this holiday season. Although Christmas is simply one day, I would suggest that you consider that every day is Christmas and treat yourself to the divine gifts that have been implanted in you and just waiting to be expressed. That's what Beauty Shop for the Soul is really all about. It's discovering your true essence despite the appearances of the things that are happening in your life. Some of these things may feel uncomfortable. Some of them may seem to be unfair and unjust and so forth and so on. But ultimately, all things work together for good. And so Beauty Shop for the Soul, as was given to me actually in a meditation. And I haven't for a while shared, and just in case there are listeners who haven't tuned in before, Beauty Shop for the Soul is a program of transformation where the participants have an opportunity, whether it's one-on-one or in a group, have an opportunity to explore the issues of life. Often these issues leave us with issues in our tissues, but they are there actually for our pruning. They are there for us to discover what it is about us, that if we were to become aware of what it is and the purpose that it has shown up, as has been said before, and you've probably heard, we are all like radio broadcasting stations. And so the very thoughts we think energetically go out before us and surround us and link up with anything and everything of that same vibrational frequency. And so the things that seem to be happening, it's not your imagination, but about Beauty Shop for the Soul, they're happening for a purpose. And the purpose is for you to discover how, in fact, you have manifested the experience that you have, even though it seems to have been initiated in some cases by an event or a person or being outside of yourself. Ultimately, it always comes back to you, to the individual. And so in Beauty Shop for the Soul, in the traditional beauty shop, you would go and there would be an assessment of your head and the way that you use your head for your thinking, that is. And in accordance with that, you know, the good thing about it is you can change because that only occurs based upon our perception of ourselves and how we see ourselves in the world. And when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And so, for example, if you, and perhaps you do from time to time, but there are those times when you experience greater lack than you do abundance. And so your focus of attention gets drawn to what's missing, what's not working, what's broken, what's left out. And by virtue of law, universal law, you get to have more of what's missing. You get to have more of what's broken. You get to have more of what's left out. And so in Beauty Shop for the Soul, once we discover the catalyst or the cause of the effect that we're experiencing in our lives, we have just put a crack in the armor, so that we can move to that next step of purification. In the traditional beauty shop, it would be a shampooing of the hair and scalp But in beauty shop for the cleansing, it's a purification. Those thoughts that at one time may have been a great defense and may have protected you from all the things around you that seem to make you feel the need for protection. And, of course, this starts very, very early in our lives. But in the meantime, we get to change that, recognizing that there is a presence and power in the universe that's greater than we are, but we can use it 24/7 at any time. But there is that requirement of that recognition that, first of all, it exists. And so we have people of many different denominations, more than we can even probably count. The thing is this, the presence and power that we're talking about, although some of us call it God and some of us call it other names, actually beyond our description. We just use words and language to communicate. But anything that is infinite, who among us has that degree of understanding? None. But we're forever expanding and moving towards the infinite so that we know more today than we did 10 years ago, and 10 years from now we'll know more than we do today. So what we know is forever changing and expanding, and as it does, so do we, or as we do, so does it. And so after that step of purification, then the next step would be conditioning, just like in the traditional beauty shop. The conditioning, anything that's been off condition for a period of time, and with most of us, our thinking has been not wanting to really say off condition, but out of alignment with our true essence, because our true essence, in our true essence, there's nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing left out. All things are working together for good. We have arrived here on the planet from the one to the many, meaning there was in the beginning only one single source of creation, and there was nothing ever created that was not created by the same creator. And from what? The only thing available was its own substance and its desire. Desire, the word itself means of the Father. And so desire to see itself in form. And so it began this process called creation. And we know there's a poem that I mentioned from time to time. I love it. And it says, God sleeps in the rock. God dreams in the plant. God stirs in the animal and awakens in man. And so throughout all the creation, we can see the minerals, the plants, the animals, and man. And so what is the difference in these different degrees of vibrational frequency? And even within each element, there are going to be different frequencies of vibration as we evolve. You'll notice from your relationships that you may start out seemingly on the same level as the person that you're in a relationship with, but as one applies oneself perhaps more than the other one, then one begins to outgrow the relationship. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it begins to be perhaps uncomfortable. The same thing happens in our family with our siblings, where there is this sense of competition. And speaking of families, the holiday season always, well, I can just speak for myself and for what people me. For most of us, we have loved ones that have crossed over. In other words, they've shed the physical body in this transition that we call death. And so that's true for, in my family, a whole bunch of people. My mother, my father, my sisters, some brothers, my husband, my son. There are just so many. And so this is a nostalgic period to some degree, but lots of fun, fun memories. And by the way, if you want to share any of those memories, fond or not, perhaps you have memories that you want to clear up, so that you can move ahead and put yourself in a position of receiving all the gifts that the universe has in store for you with your name inscribed upon it, and no one else can collect it. It's all yours, but it's up to you. You have to be able to identify yourself according to your own true essence. It's like as Abraham has said, there is a spiritual escrow account. And in the same way that if you went to a traditional bank or credit union and established an escrow account, they would assign you a number and you would have to show your identification. Well, if you went back to make a withdrawal and you change your signature, they wouldn't recognize it as authentic. And they would deny you the chance to withdraw your own funds. Or if you were significantly different in your physical appearance, it may create a problem. The same thing is true in terms of a spiritual escrow account. Who you are is made in the image and the likeness of the Creator, and from that divine substance, and in the same way that a drop of water from the ocean contains all of the elements and aspects of the ocean, and yet it's not the ocean. The same thing is true for each one of us. And so when we go, when we are wanting to experience greater abundance, we cannot, by law, go in the consciousness of lack, limitation, separation, thing that is not true of the infinite Creator. It's certainly not true of each of us, each one having been made in that image and likeness and endowed with the potential and the possibility to make choices. And, of course, we grow through those choices that we make. Some of those choices were not Phi Beta Kappa choices. I've made a few. And the good news is the discomfort that we experience from a choice that was not the highest choice is just information for us to see where else is that and how else is that showing up in our lives. And so however that's showing up, no one but you or I or the individual can clear it up. And as we make this process, as we go through this clearing up, the recognition first, the assessment, of course, the purification, and then there are things that we can do to condition ourselves because as things have been off condition for a while, we have to keep practicing the present. And what do we mean by practicing the present? What do I mean by that? As we practice the present, despite whatever appears to be going on, we recognize, as I started out this conversation earlier, there is a power in the universe that's greater than we are. It is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, and omniactive. And is ever available 24/7 to each of us. And as we first recognize that it is so, and then recognize that as we have come from the One, we are in fact the One. We are forever because the universe needs a vehicle to express itself through. That would be you. That would be all of us. So in the context of spirit, soul, and body, the spirit has to have a channel, and the soul is the channel, the place of the law, L-A-W. And so when we put, a seed into the soil, that is the soil, that's the place of transformation. It is also the place for, in the context of father, mother, child, there has to be a coming together of the masculine and the feminine to produce the offspring. And so the same concept is true. You know, the master teacher of all teachers, as far as we know, taught by using parables. And parables are two stories, not just one. It's two stories. One of those stories you would be able to relate to immediately simply because you see it in your environment as you look around. For example, who on the planet that is over a certain age, you know, school kids and up, early on they start having gardens and they learn about planting and sowing seeds and weeding and so forth and so on. And so the analogy is, the first parable, the first story of the parable, is to tell a story that you can individually relate to. And as you're able to relate to that, then you're able to hear the story, that the second story, that then seems more mystical, but not beyond our understanding. And so as these parables are used, and I'm sure that each of you have your own parables, that you can look at the things that are happening. And so we have the seed, the stall, and the plant. The stall is totally subject to the seed that is dropped into it and will produce after its own kind. That's a law, a universal law. Every seed must multiply after its own kind. The same thing, let's now take that to another level. Consider that every seed must multiply after its own kind. That when you put a seed into the stall will give you the mental, the exact equivalent of the seed. In other words, potato seeds into the stall will bring you potatoes. Tomato seeds will bring you tomatoes. The same thing now translates that into your thought processes, into your thinking. When you have a thought of lack, limitation, or separation, the stall is the subconscious mind that consciously you have chosen a thought to believe in and act upon a sense of separation, lack, or limitation. And as you have chosen that, the universe always says yes. That seed of a thought of lack gets dropped into the stall of your subconscious mind, and it becomes, the subconscious is then the vehicle of the conscious mind and will produce after its own kind, which is the seed, the stall, and the plant. So another word for plant is outcome or effect or result or manifestation. All of those things, so we get to look at what's happening in our lives, and that's another way of confirming for each individual what your thinking is about or what your thinking is like. And so as we begin to become aware of our thoughts, thoughts are things, and we can change these thoughts. We are all storytellers here. And as we tell these stories, you know, storytelling was actually, and by the way, I'm a storyteller, it's the first method of teaching. Before they had schools and institutions, there was storytelling. They still do it to this day. Every culture does. But also, it was the first method of healing. We didn't always have doctors. We didn't always have hospitals. And even in this day and age, when one has a lot of inhibitions and fears about the doctor or medicine or past experiences that were not producing the results that were desired, it may generate or create some fear, some doubt, some hesitancy. But as we begin to recognize, we don't deny that these conditions existed and may in the moment still exist, but there is this presence and power in the universe that's greater than this fear. And when we turn away from the illusions of the world and tap into that fear, then we get to have the manifestation of that. So you change your story, you change your life. And so I was thinking that, you know, I've told myself many stories before. Growing up in a family of nine children, I was the exact middle child, the number. By the way, anybody who would like to share, make a comment or ask a question, push number one, and I would be so glad to just bring you on so that you can share. And, in fact, you can call your friends, call your family, tell them to dial 646-200-4169, the same number that you dialed. And I would love to have a chit-chat during this holiday season, particularly about family in general and about mothers in particular. Well, I found that, you know, Edgar Casey, in case you may not know who that was considered to be one of the, or the foremost psychic of the 20th century. He had this ability to, he was called the sleeping prophet. So he could put a book literally under his head and go to sleep and on awakening to tell you what was on any particular page. It didn't matter what the book was, didn't matter how thick it was, but he could tell you the page and the citation, whatever it said. And so Edgar Casey said, our parents were the experts in the lessons that we came to learn during this lifetime. So think about the lessons, not that someone has told you it's a lesson, But just look at what's unfolding in your life, in your experience, in your relationships, with your finances, with your health, with your creative self-expression. If there is something that appears to be missing, it's simply a message for you to discover, think about yourself. And as I began to discover more and more about myself, I realized that I have come to know my mother better than I ever knew her when she was in the body. And consequently and subsequently, I know myself better than I ever did when my mother was around. But growing up, in order to have discipline and order in the household that I grew up in, my mother was very strict. In fact, according to my perception, she was too strict. We had lots of restrictions that other children, our peers, did not seem to have. And, of course, I wanted to be like everybody else. I wanted to go and play for as long as I wanted. Other kids' parents would say, be back before dark, don't stay too long, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But not my mom. My mom would say, you have an hour. And that included when she allowed us to go play. And that included travel time. So if your friend lived 15 minutes away, it took you 15 minutes to get there, 15 minutes to get back, then you had a half an hour to play. I found that quite frustrating. And so that and many other things that my mom did in terms of her rules and regulations, I saw her as a strict, inflexible person. And she also did not permit us to come back and ask for restrictions to be removed if she had so done it before. If we had in any way been what she considered to be disobedient, then we would have some restrictions, and those would stay for the time frame that she had established. So I'm going to, I see that there's someone that wants to speak, so I'm going to bring him on. Hold on. Hello, 702 Hi. Area code.
Yes, ma'am. This is Tamara. Yes, ma'am. How are you?
This is who?
This is Tammy calling in this evening.
Hi, Tammy. How are you? Thank you.
I'm doing quite well.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So, well, first of all, happy holidays to you.
Same to you. They are great holidays. We must have had similar mothers. My mother was so much, so close to what it sounds like you went through in your childhood as well. My mother was extremely strict.
Well, you know what? That was my perception of my mother. And since there were nine children of us, then we all had a different perception of that. What was your perception of your mom?
Well, I'm the baby of seven.
Huh?
My mother had seven, so I'm the baby. So where everyone thought I had it easy, I thought I had it quite tough. Every Saturday, she woke us up at 6. She had to be at work at 9. So in order for us to go outside and play before she left for work, all chores had to be completed. So I thought my mother was, you know, and I'm thinking, well, what do you mean I had it easy? You know, and after everyone else moved out, I was still home with mom for quite a few years. So, I saw it, but I'm grateful, so grateful for the discipline that she instilled in me. I have friends now that tell me, I had a friend tell me just today that they wish they had my discipline to finish what I start. And but
wonderful.
It's something that I have to thank my mother for. I have to thank my mother for that.
And have you done that?
Oh, every day I talk to my mother. She's been gone now since 2000. And I still say thank you. So many of the things that I do, even with my own children, my son made a comment on Friday, well, Mom, why do I have to do that? I said, well, honestly, because my mother did it with me. He said, well, do you have to do the same thing with me? I said, no, I don't, because you're not me, but it taught me some great lessons, and I just need to make sure you have to be self-sufficient. this is the only thing I know. I said, but I'll take into consideration what you say, too. My mother didn't take into consideration what I said. She just said, do it.
And so go ahead. Excuse me. Would you repeat that last part again?
Forgive me. She just gave the instructions to get it done. And first time, it needs to be done. If I have to say it a second time, there's consequences.
And where do you think your mom's strictness came from?
Oh, from her parents, definitely.
So, if you were to go back some generations, where would you place the origin of this form of discipline or child rearing?
Well, she's told me several. Well, she was a great storyteller too about the things that she had to endure. It was definitely from coming up in a time when we did not have the freedom to do what we felt we wanted to do in mainstream. So it has definitely been something to see how we've evolved from, you know, what she had to endure. But definitely from her parents. I don't know much about her parents' parents.
Where did your mom grow up?
In Mississippi.
And what time period?
My mother was born in 1928.
Oh, okay. All right. So your mom would be about 85 now?
Correct. Correct.
In the 1930s, early 1930s or so, then life in Mississippi would have been, as you said, significantly different, and there were some major cultural things that were going on that would influence the way that children were raised or reared. So my English teacher would say. Yeah. And out of these other children that are in your family, how did they, what was their perception of their relationship? I heard you say that they thought you had it easy. What did you think about them, and what did they think it was? A couple of questions there.
Well, my mother was the eldest of 11 children, okay?
Okay.
So according to her, she told me many stories of her responsibility in not only helping on my grandfather's farm, but also helping to rear her brothers and sisters, which she found to be very difficult. And then she had her own children. The first few were boys. It took a while before she had a girl. She had her own individual relationship with all of us. She was very determined to keep our family together. My father they were married until he passed away 13 years prior to me losing her. And she was just very family oriented. But my oldest brother had probably, from my perspective, the closest relationship that I saw, that's my perception of it, with my mother, because perhaps he was the firstborn. And the set of us, she lost two children at birth. And so five of us were reared to adulthood. But everyone has their own individual. I saw my second brother, who loved my mother dearly. He seemed to be treated as though he was the baby to me. She made special exceptions to him throughout her entire life that I saw.
What kind of
what
did that look like? What kind of exception? What happened with him that did not happen with you, for example?
Well, let's see. Probably I felt like he was more dependent. My mother told me a story about me. And she used to tell people, because she was almost 40 when I was born, so that's kind of telling my age. She was in her late 30s. She said to me, well, and she would say this to people, I didn't intend on having her, but I sure am glad I did. She's one of my best children. That's something she, and I used to say, why do you tell people that? Is that nice to say? But that was her way of telling me she was proud of me, and I had to finally understand that. Because she told me when you were, she said, you're the giver of the family. She said, when my brother that passed away, he was 14 months older than I am. She said, when he was young, and although I was 14 months younger, and I was still on the bottle, she said, if he would cry, you would take the bottle out of your mouth and give it to him.
Wow.
She said, yeah, she said, and I knew that you were special, even at your young age, that you would be the one that would probably always give. And I do. Even to today, I give away everything.
Wow.
I just do. Maybe because she's told me that story so many times, but we had a great, I made up my mind, even though I thought my mother was strict and mean, I made up in my mind I wanted to have a great relationship with her after I married and moved away, and so I nurtured it. I made it a point to call her every day. I lived in another state at the time. I made it a point to nourish that relationship, even though I had in my mind reasons to hold grudges, but I decided it's not worth it. I had to let those go, and I'm glad that I did.
Well, Tammy, let me ask you, have you ever, taking from what you just said, felt that there was a reason to hold a grudge, and then at some point in your life you discovered that there wasn't a reason to hold a grudge?
In the beginning, I felt like holding a grudge would show her that she was too strict and that she should have not been as mean and somewhat controlling from my perspective. But what I realized, once I had my first child, which was the following year after I got married, I called her the day he was born and cried. And I said, I apologize for anything that I've ever done. Which I was a pretty good kid, but I wasn't perfect. I was disobedient in some arenas. But I said to her, for anything that I may have done that wasn't to your liking. And she said, you were a good kid. What do you mean? And at that moment, I knew the responsibility in my heart that she had for each of us. And she could only do with us what she had learned and experienced through her mother and father.
Hmm.
And, you know, she told me some great stories, some stories that actually made me cry, of things she endured growing up.
From her
and
parents?
One of them was she was the firstborn, and when the second child, real short, when the second child came, and she was used to sleeping in the family bed at that time because they usually had a one-room house and one bed, that she was in the bed. She was 3 years old, and when the second child was brought home, and she got in the bed with her mother like she normally did every night, she said that my grandfather snatched her out of the bed and gave her a whipping that she never, ever forgot, put her on the floor and told her, you are never to get back in this bed. Your turn is up. And my mother said, I didn't know. But he, because he felt, because another baby came in, I should have known. And she said, I was three. I'll never forget it.
Hmm. Wow.
And from that, yes, from that, she allowed us to sleep in the bed, you know, periodically. I was 8, 9, 10, still crawling in the bed between her and my father. But she did make me go back to my own bed, but she was determined not to do that to us because of what happened to her in regards to that aspect.
Wow. Well, you know, the reason that I'm asking this, you know, this program is called Beauty Shop for the Soul. And so what that is, you know, there are things that happen to us physically, mentally, emotionally, and otherwise, and it's a trauma to your soul.
Mm-hmm.
So even if a person has been abusive, and a lot of things that we could, we think to be abusive, sometimes, of course, it is, but there are other times when it either it's not or it wasn't intended to be. Either way, no matter how it happens, since it is your soul and it is the evolution of your soul, the individual, then we get to make a choice to stymie our growth and development. And, of course, what happens, like the first comment you made was a thought about showing your mother something and in terms of what she had done, and which is coming from a place in consciousness that, what would you call it if you had to just choose a word to describe that behavior, what would the word be?
The behavior of showing, you said showing my mother something?
Yes, or anybody else for that matter. Yes, they, in other words, they did something, and that whatever it is they did, in this case your mother, it disturbed you in some way. So now there's this thought that you have now, this anyway, to teach them something, to show them something. So this whole scenario could be summed up in a single word. And so I'm inviting you to consider, what would that word be?
Compassion.
Showing somebody something that displeased you, and you're wanting them to know without telling them that it displeased you, you're going to show them that compassion?
Oh, that, okay, that was displeasing to me. That word would be pain.
Yes, pain is, that's probably one of them. Is there another word you could use?
Forgiveness.
See, there's some, yes, that's another one, but something called the pain, you see. So as we work through this process in the context of Beauty Shop for the Soul, as we're moving behind the catalyst for the pain itself is the result of something. And that's the word that we're looking for here. So, you know, usually, well, let me just say, excuse me, and most of us go through this kind of experience. And before I want to just kind of do a little bit of a diversion. I woke up one morning and I was some information was coming to me, and I wrote it down, and it was about my mother. And then later that day, as I was driving, another thing came, and it was a point, and it was about me and Mama. And it said, because most children, especially early in life, feel misunderstood by their parents, and in general, and the mother in particular, because usually it's the mother that spends the most time with the children. And often what we, the experience that we have is based upon not being able to do the things that we want to do or have what we want to have or, you know, be what we want to be, those kind of things. So our perception, of course, is the perception of a small child at that time. And as you said, when you grew up and you had a child on the day it was born, you had a realization, an inner knowing about what it was now, even though it was your first day of being a mother, you had some insight into your mother as well as into yourself. So in this poem about me and mama and the recognition that we all have felt misunderstood, and usually the misunderstanding comes from the people that we spend the most time with because we get to see them grow as well as they see us grow. And so in this poem it said, sometimes I wish mama had understood me better. Sometimes I wish that I had better understood mama. Then I wish that mama had better understood mama and I had better understood me. But if we had better understood we, I wonder who I'd be. Not me. And I like me because I like mama. Mama and me, we were weak. And what that says is, and I realized that when it was coming to me that day, that at first we feel misunderstood, but as we get a little older, we do things, and then we look back and say, why in the world did I do that? Have you ever had that moment?
Absolutely. Where you look,
yeah, we all have. And so as we discover that we don't always know why we did what we did, especially some of those things, then it's not difficult to imagine that perhaps mama didn't always know why mama did what mama did when she did it, if that makes sense. Not only do you not always know, do I not always know, mama didn't always know. But we were wanting mama to understand us better, meaning let us have our way. That's, you know, that's that early childhood thing. So when I wish that mama had understood me better, it wasn't about me understanding mama. It was about mama understanding me. And then as we evolve and grow a little bit, then we realize we don't always understand us. And if that be the case, then, like I said a while ago, perhaps mama didn't always understand mama. And then the two of us, it's the we. So we didn't always understand we. But if it hadn't been for mama and me, who would we be? The two of us. And we are who we are because of the experiences that we had with mama and all of the imperfections that mama had and all the imperfections we had. Many of us have not probably used the insight and wisdom that you had, and I commend you for that, for not only having the thoughts but following through on it and sharing with your mother, because often mothers do not get to hear their children acknowledge what you acknowledge. And many of them leave the planet without that. And many children never have the insight. So it sounds like, you know, you had a really wonderful experience there. But our primary teachers, as I was starting to say earlier, or I did say, Edgar Casey had mentioned, our parents are the experts in the lessons we came to learn in this lifetime. So, you know, if you were going to go to, let's say you wanted to be an engineer, and let's say MIT University is noted turning out these phenomenal engineers and et cetera. In other words, you want to go where the focus of attention and curriculum is such that pretty much you're going to get the highest caliber of training and education that you could get. You wouldn't go to a school of home economics to become an engineer. So the same thing is true in life. Based upon that premise that Edgar Casey spoke, our parents are the experts in the lessons that we came to learn in this lifetime. So in the evolution of the soul, in order for the soul to evolve, you've got to have the right set of circumstances, and there's where mama comes in and daddy and all the siblings that we have and all the teachers and everything else. It's preparation for the evolution of the soul. Along the line, we have been indoctrinated. We have these experiences. They make us unhappy, uncomfortable. So the word is, you know, we judge, we criticize, and all of these feelings come in. And the fact that we want to show somebody something, we want to teach them, but it really isn't up to us. You know, in the scriptures it says, the battle is not mine, it's the Lord's, which means the law, because the law always takes care of itself, and you don't have to do anything. And, in fact, the minute that we take it upon ourselves, then we just activated another law, a law of cause and effect or reciprocity, where this is going to show up in our lives again, because we're not here really to straighten out anybody else. We're here to evolve in our own consciousness ourselves.
Very much
yeah.
so.
Yeah, and the thing about it, we don't just have one single solitary opportunity or lesson. We get many of them over and over and over. And so when we were talking, when you were talking earlier about your mother's childhood and the time frame that she lived, that she grew up in, and the state that she grew up in, if you go back a few generations, perhaps to her great-grandmother and great-great-grandmother, if they were born and raised in Mississippi, you know, if it was a slave state. And so mothers were known, African-American mothers, to be in those environments because it was a protective measure for the children. If they, just like what happened to Emmett Till in the 1950s, which was four decades from slavery, and yet what happened to Emmett Till was the same kind of thing that was frequently done, as you would know, during those days. So African Americans got a reputation for being very strict because they were protecting the kid to keep the kid from being hung, castrated, whatever it was that could be polished, sold. There are many things that could have happened. And so this has been passed down, unfortunately, in the form of fear. And, you know, everything has its own energy. And so four, five, six generations from slavery, those children may not have any awareness, only little sketches of what they heard about what it was. But energetically, if that cycle hasn't been broken, they're still perpetuating that same behavior. Same method, that same strictness, all of that stuff is still there. And so if somebody doesn't consciously do things to break that cycle, it will just continue on for generations and generations. There's a wonderful book called Psychological Chains and Images of Slavery, and it addresses, you know, this kind of issue there. If you haven't heard it, you might want to check it out sometime. But it sounds like you already have such a wonderful start in terms of, and maybe not just start, I don't want to limit it to that. It looks like you have a good perspective on that, and I commend that, commend you for that. And I'm sure it must make your mom happy because a lot of times we go, and I've certainly been guilty myself before, of not acknowledging, you know, something that I have observed. And I've worked on that now for some time to, you know, to just acknowledge what we that we appreciate, whatever it is. And I think it's even more necessary when we're talking about our parents, because nobody can pass on anything that they don't already have. And if they didn't get it, they didn't get it for whatever the reasons are. And but most people do the best they can with what they have to work with. And so it just takes acknowledging just that. So I am really happy that you called in. And actually, I saw that the other Tammy was attempting to call. So I'll have to let her know that you called in. And what a wonderful exchange, you know, that we had or having. She's back in town. I don't know if she's So... anyway, she'll be here through the, of course, I'll be leaving because I'm going to go spend the time with my children and a couple of my grandkids. But anyway, Tammy will be here. I don't know for how long, but she is back now. And so I'll be communicating with her before the evening is over. So,
well,
anyway.
It has been my pleasure.
Well, thank you. And now tell me, what was your, at the function where we met, did you have products there or what?
I was with a company. We had a booth. We had two booths there, as a matter of fact, and it was health, anti-aging and health. Wonderful products. They've been life-changing for me.
What is the product? Did you say kelp?
No, no, no. It's anti-aging, and it's Limitless is the name of our company, and we're owned by Basic Research.
Okay.
And it has been a phenomenal life change for me.
In what way?
We have, well, it's sleeping better, mentally more sharper. We have skin products that are phenomenal. I had considered seriously having a facelift at my age, primarily on the side that's exposed to the sun while driving. The laugh line was extremely intense to me. And so I just wanted a little nip and tuck. Once I got on the product, it completely, I could feel it tightening my skin. I don't have that desire any longer. It has made a tremendous change in my face.
So you're telling me that the product that you ingest has made an adjustment in terms of your skin, the aging process?
Yes.
The
it causes your, yes, it helps, yes, yes. It assists your body and your pituitary gland and starting to produce again as we age. It doesn't work quite the same. So the product that I take internally is amino acids, and it's HGH, but it's all made from it's a very, very specific blend of aminos, so it's all natural. And it helps your body to start back, the pituitary gland to start back working as it did when you were younger. And so in
wow.
that, it helps with the skin. It helps with all the functions of the body. It's the joint formula has, they wanted to replace both my hips. And
really?
I said no, but I've been in therapy for 4 years, yes. I've been in intense therapy for 4 years. And when I started taking this, and I'm not saying it just because I'm representing the company. I have tried companies for the past 9 years. I was injured by a epidural 9 years ago. So, yeah, so arthritis and stuff started setting in. But I started taking their joint formula, and incredibly, I'm out doing and visiting and traveling, and I've traveled every single month this year. There's not been 1 month I haven't been out of town. I'm just loving it.
Wow. Well, you know what? I would like to invite you to be on again as a guest and talk about what you're talking about now.
Absolutely.
So,
and I would love to share this, have some samples with you, and because it's beyond testimony. That is their mantra. It's beyond testimony. It's more than just saying it and putting it's try it for yourself and see
well,
what
I
it
would
does.
Love to do that. I'm going to be gone
absolutely.
For the next week, but when I get back, I will be in touch with you. In the meantime, I am going to be getting that relaxed sauna. Did you experience it? Yes. So anyway, I will be in touch with you because I'd like to experience this product that you're talking about. And I don't, you didn't mention anything about the price range. Is it in a PO? Is it powder? What form does it come in? And what kind of price range is it?
Well, each product's price range depends on some of the products are available mainstream. It's called product branding. So some of them are available in the higher-end stores, such as Neiman Marcus and things like that. We'll, if we can possibly discuss the prices later, only because I don't have the price list in front of me right now, and I don't want to just assume it's around and about. I like to be very specific in giving you and sharing the prices with you. But through me, you won't be paying those retail prices and things like that. But like I said, I'd like for you to sample the product, tell me what you think, and we go from there. Testimonies mean everything to this product line.
Okay.
It's everything.
Well,
just like you said, storytelling.
Right. Well, Tammy, I want to say something because we're going to be coming up on the end of this program, and I have not mentioned on January the 11th, I'm going to be doing a workshop, Visioning and Visualization, in Las Vegas. It's in Henderson, actually, and it's at the Ganesh Center, which is between Pecos and Eastern. It's on a Saturday, January the 11th, from 1 to 4 p.m., so I wanted to be sure I made that announcement. And it's about visioning and visualization. For some people, there's a perception that it's the same, but for this particular program, there is a distinction in these two approaches. The the end result could easily be the same thing, and of course what it does is give a participant more options that they can use, and of course more tools you have in your spiritual toolkit, the better you're prepared to be, you know, for whatever arises. And so I would wanted to share that with whoever, invite you to pass it on. It's Unity of Green Valley, or Unity of the Valley. It's in Green Valley, but the name may not say Green Valley. But it is Unity of the Valley, and it is in Henderson on Warm Springs, the 3100 block, and it's from 1 to 4 p.m. So I will be co-facilitating that with a young woman whose name is Ray. And so it's Joe and Ray, two women, that are doing this workshop, and I invite you. In fact, there is a fee involved, but if you bring three people, bring three and yours is free. So that's my commercial for the workshop. It is to establish the tone for for 2014. So anyway, I will be in touch, you know, at some time after the show to talk about the product and to talk about some other things that I would like to explore. So I want to just thank you again. It's been a pleasure and a delight to, have you here on the show. And so consider that sometime before perhaps the end of January, I'm going to be traveling a couple of times. So it could easily be in February, but I will contact you to see when can we possibly have you back on the show to talk about your products and the benefits of them. How is that? How would that work for you? Okay. So anyway, I'm going to have to close out. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful, blessed, happy, fun-filled, memorable holiday season. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Beauty Shop for the Soul with host Joanne Buckner here on Earth Angels Radio. For more information on Joanne, please visit earthangelsradio.com. You can also contact Joanne by email at ourbeautifulsouls@gmail.com or call her at 702-622-4937. What better way to transform than a day at the beauty shop? Beauty Shop for the Soul.